In the name of Jesus, amen. The sermon for this reminiscery, the Lent second week in Lent, is according to the epistle text. And this morning, I am called upon once again to request and exhort you in the Lord Jesus Christ, as St. Paul does in our epistle, to be the holy people of God, which you are, and yet to encourage you to be so all the more. It's interesting because the Thessalonians that we are reading about today is part of, this is what we're studying in the men's Bible breakfast. And one of the things we'll note about the Thessalonians is, as far as churches go, St. Paul has so many wonderful things to say about them, about their faith and how this has transferred over to the pagans that are living next door to them. They're aware that the Thessalonians know Jesus and that it matters. Unlike Sunday's Bible study, we're talking about the Corinthians. And we're talking, that is a dumpster fire over there in Corinth. It is just crazy. It's filled with cities, entertainment, wealth, bright lights, and every type of immorality is there like a marketplace. So you might be saying, well, maybe he's talking to the wrong church. I assure you he is not. Because for the people who are being recognized for the work of the Holy Spirit in their community, at no time does God's word then become null and void. So I think it's not only a little bit ironic, but it's super fitting that he would be telling this to the Thessalonians. Our text tells us that we have not been called for the purpose of impurity, but in sanctification. God has not, according to St. Paul, called us to live in sin or to be content and secure in all our foibles and frailties. He has called us to live as sinners. That is true. I mean, not called to live as sinners. He has called us sinners, but to actually called us to repentance and holiness. He has called us to sanctify us, to make us holy. In the words of this apostle here, we are being called to a life of purity, sanctification. Because we'll remember that sanctification is to be called holy. And if I haven't said this enough, I'll say it again. To be holy doesn't mean, you know, the holier than thou kind of insult that we give people. When we think of that, we think of somebody who basically thinks they're better than we are. And that's not what St. Paul or God is referring to. When we're called to be holy, we're called to be set apart. That's what holy means. And so we're set apart. And well, if we're set apart, who are we set apart with? We're set apart with God and His ways. So we're called to God's ways and not to our own. That's why Christians can never claim to be superior to other people, because we are being called to trust in God. And one of those things we're called to do is to love our neighbors. So it's really hard to get an ego about yourself when you're called to be a servant and someone who loves your neighbor. So when we're called to be holy, it's called to live the set-apart life that we have been given. He's called us to sanctify us. That's another, the Latin way of saying it. Because back in the times of St. Paul, to many people, the freedom of the gospel and forgiveness of sins meant they could now go out and sin deliberately and do whatever their hearts desired, and it didn't make any difference to their salvation. That's called being an antinomian. An antinomian is somebody who thinks God's law has no place for us. They appeared to think that anyone who called themselves a Christian was going to go to heaven, no questions asked. And it's not much different today, because I will tell you, every heresy that's ever happened in the church comes about by man not hearing the good news that we are saved by grace through faith and not of ourselves. Every heresy tries to rewrite that so that we are doing it. And including the heresy of saying, well, call yourself a Christian and therefore it is so. If that's not works theology, I don't know what is. Because by your verbiage and saying, I'm a Christian, you're now a Christian, and I'm going, wow, what religion is that? It sounds like mine, but it doesn't. It's the name sounds familiar. But the way it works doesn't sound very familiar. Many people think that anyone who can pronounce the name Jesus is going to heaven, whatever they may imagine that means. And to be honest, calling yourself a Christian back in the early church was a lot different than it is for us in 2023. Because Christians, and I don't mean they were just sort of disliked, they were hated. They were hunted. They were persecuted and killed for just being Christians. Christianity was illegal. Confessing Christ made you an outlaw. The Christian faith and confession required a risk of a commitment back then that it just doesn't demand today. Certainly not in Oregon. Risk or not, St. Paul tells them that they were to walk in Christ to be pleasing to God. That exhortation also applies to you and to me. They and we are called with a purpose, and part of that purpose, at least, is the life that is sanctified. St. Paul writes that those who have been called into a relationship with Jesus Christ have been made holy by the forgiveness of sins, and that we are to live in that holiness. It shouldn't surprise you that we are called to live in holiness, and that is begun by the washing of the water and regeneration. Jesus says, look, I have made you clean. Stop pretending like I didn't. Stop lying to yourself. St. Paul further tells his readers that confusion on the issue can be really dangerous because God, who we call Father and hope in for our salvation, is the avenger of those who have been injured by the immorality of others. There is no cover from God in merely claiming Him as your God. He is the judge and He is just. Our confessions tell us this. He's impartial and He is the avenger of immorality. And we have been called to purity. You'll notice what I just said, and I think this is an important point. God has been called to be the avenger of immorality. We are not called to be the avengers of immorality. When our word of God says something is immoral or sinful, we're not called to take a baseball bat to those people. When God calls something wrong and horrible, He says, I will have revenge, not you. So we say, well, what do we do when we run across sinners? I say, hopefully the same thing that happened to you. You are shown mercy, love, kindness, not a bat, a baseball bat, or in this case, lions, as they treated Christians in the first century. So if you are the moral avenger, I'm sorry, but you are on the wrong team, and do not ever expect me to give you a high five for it. The specific topic St. Paul addresses appears to be sexual morality or immorality, and the instruction is that we are not to engage in sexual immorality or lustful passion or impurity. We have a command from God on this. We are to learn self-control and to possess our bodies in sanctification and honor. Sexual morality is the issue because it is so very difficult for people. And being a Christian, this might be the duh, Pastor Hoffman phrase of the day, but being a Christian doesn't insulate us from temptations of the flesh. It makes us a target, if nothing else, to have the tempter in this regard, and we still face the other two great enemies of godliness, the world all around us and our own sinful flesh. The culture around us is steeped in sex and lust and permission, even invitation to wanton sexual desire and activity. Our flesh also fights against God's holy will for us. Our flesh wants and our flesh hungers and our flesh lusts. And we, the holy people of God, are called out of sin into holiness. And God's purpose in making us His holy people is that we abstain from sins and live in that holiness. We are called to purity. Now, here's something really interesting that we are learning in Bible study on Sundays. In Corinth, these people who became Christians, they weren't raised Christians. So they were wondering. I'm really curious. I've heard about this Jesus. I've heard about him. And I need to tell you that these things that these Christians are telling me, I have been a part of this my whole life, because in Corinth, these are okay. It's normal for this to happen. Does that mean that Jesus can never love me because I have engaged in this? We're now back to my earlier statement, and this is where I get it from. I get it from St. Paul. Rather than St. Paul saying, "Get out of my office," he said, "Of course not. Like me, you've been called to turn away from that." That is the purpose, is to turn away from it, not to say, "You have a time machine, go back and fix it so that everything's all hunky-dory." Rather than that, he gives you the Christian time machine to say that you have been made clean because of the works of Jesus Christ for you. And of course, some of the worry was, you realize we're letting broken people into our church, don't you? And of course, we're saying, and he's going, as opposed to who? So he knows. He knows how hard this is. And it doesn't matter if you grew up in it or you think you've invented it, much like the hippies. But this isn't a call in which God demands everything from us, because then that would be works, and then we would be trying to paddle Christ's canoe, and gives us nothing from himself. It's quite the opposite, really. God has sent his Son, and Jesus has lived the holy life and laid down his own body for you. He purchased your holiness with his own, and by the cross and the agonies there. So look at the cross instead of your own works. See Christ nailed to the cross and dying in agony instead of your own works. This is how important and precious your sanctification is to God. He has purchased holiness for you and poured it out on you and chosen you from among all mankind and called you to live before Him in faith and in sanctification. Your sins are forgiven. You have been made heirs of eternal life in glory with God. It is a gift to you by grace through faith. And boy, I will tell you, that is where the devil tries to get you. Because when it comes to sin, I will say God, in grace and forgiveness, has a very short memory. But the devil has a very long memory of you. And he will always throw it into your face. "Oh yeah, Mr. or Mrs., I'm so perfect. I seem to remember back in 2004, whatever. And the devil will never forget that stuff, because all he has is playing on misery and suffering in a life that has no hope. And so, granted, his evil gospel is what all he'll share with you is hopelessness, sin, and unforgiveness. It's really great to cripple a Christian by saying, "Well, I certainly remember when you ... Mr. Mrs. I'm too good for everybody." He knows. And of course, Christ knows too. He knows how difficult living in this corrupt and sinful world is for you. And the weakness of your flesh. That is why He has given you even His Holy Supper, which we will receive today, to strengthen us, to purify us for this holy living. Here is the very body of Christ under the form of the bread for your forgiveness and sanctification. It cleanses you. Here is the very blood which He shed for your sins to cleanse you and raise you up to holiness and everlasting life. Come and eat and drink and be refreshed and cleansed and strengthened, for you have been called to purity, and here Christ prepares you to fulfill this call. You see, when the Christian faith was illegal, the pious and holy conduct of the Christian was actually a tool of evangelism. The sanctification of the Christian bore silent witness that the illegal religion was not evil, and the followers of Christ were different only in the good effect of Christ in their lives, causing them to live in purity and decency and compassion for their neighbors. Corinth was merciless on those who were weak. Corinth was merciless on those who could not live up to the Greco-Roman standards of intelligence and beauty and physique. This was the land of Olympics. This was the land of fashion, the land of technology, the land of power. And they were all called to be a reflection of that. And when they weren't, they were cast aside like trash. And that's how the Christian church was built. From the trash of society became the wealth of the church, as St. Boniface would say when they came to take him away. Today, we see Christianity, for the lack of a better term, is slipping once again into the unfavorable category in the perception of our culture. Paganism, pagan immorality, the whole Viking thing that's come into real popularity of the pagan Vikings, it's rising into dominance in the world around us. The witness of many who call themselves Christian is not good. It's not clear or faithful or holy. Church bodies practically fall over themselves trying to give approval to things which are expressly condemned by God. Sanctification is tolerated as only a personal opinion, but not as a public doctrine or as an expression of faith. Personal sanctification of individual Christians is literally then to be thought of as under assault. The devil is hard at work and succeeds all too often. It's interesting that as a church, think about it, attendance, it's not just us. This is the church on earth. Attendance is dropping. As interest in Christian education and Christian wisdom, which was once held very highly in our country, it's now fallen away. And as drug use is not only applauded in our own state as a choice and ignored as an addiction leading to crime and death, other crimes and sins arise with greater frequency among those even in the more conservative churches. Sadly, more and more, even among the clergy. And rather than discuss the profound impact of all these things are having on our society, which they are, anybody who pays attention, anybody who's lived longer than just a couple of decades, We're actually more interested in debating why men can't have babies or play women's sports. And I'm just going, ugh. One is just biology, the other is entertainment. The world today needs the witness of our holy lives to contradict the growing persuasion that faith in Christ, the lie that it does no particular good, and that Christians are just like everyone else, because we're not supposed to be. Our holiness continues to be a silent witness to the presence of Christ in us and brings glory to God, even when we are unaware that our sanctification is observed or that it has any influence whatsoever. And to think of something going unobserved in this day and age almost seems foreign to me. There's lots of jokes that I see on the internet about saying, you know that thing that we did back in 1988? Yeah, nobody else does either. Because we didn't have, you know, cell phones with cameras. Everybody has something being filmed. It is at least in part the purpose of the Lord for calling us into faith in Christ. If God did not have that purpose, He could summon us to Himself in glory just as soon as we came to faith. But God has called you for the purpose of purity. It's kind of hard to imagine to say, well, I could never witness to Christ because I'm not a great theologian. I'm like, okay, well, not everybody is. But the life that you live matters. I don't want you to think that the life that you live doesn't matter just because you're not a great theologian. But the life you live can be great theology or poor theology. For those who may be tempted by the deceptive philosophy that it does not make any difference how a Christian lives, or whether or not you sin, since our sins have been atoned for, or the notion that God will accept us just as any sort of behavior that we may give to Him at any time, well, this text serves as a caution, and don't forget who He's writing to. He's not writing to the Colossians. He's not writing to the Corinthians. It's writing to the Thessalonians, the people who he regards as doing a great job. God's will and His purpose in calling us to Himself is our sanctification. And those who transgress and defraud one another must remember, reminiscere, but the Lord is the avenger in all these things, and we are not. He is. So put your bats away, put your lynch mobs away, and rather take out your love for neighbor. Take out the life that you have been given. And now, I didn't tell you all this because I'm saying, oh, well, you strike me as particularly evil people. Or people are liable to such sin. We are all tempted in one way or another, as I said. But to look at the Thessalonians and saying he wasn't saying that to them either. And that's not my purpose either. You are God's holy people. You have been set apart. I begin there as I indicate in every sermon. You are my brothers and sisters in Christ. You are my neighbors. You're not just my parishioners. You're my neighbors. You're my brothers and sisters in Christ, that you are forgiven and made holy by His work on the cross. So walk as God has taught you to walk, and live in the holiness He has given to you and poured out on you. For you have been called to purity. And that's not a bad thing. In the name of Jesus, amen. Please rise. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard and keep your hearts and your minds in the one true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Let us now confess our faith as found in the words of the Nicene Creed.